Welcome to Faith for Living. I'm Joey Hamlin, pastor of Family Harvest Church in Post, Texas. Today I have an encouraging message from the Word of God that will bless you and strengthen you. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, "All things are possible to those who believe." So today is a day of supernatural possibilities. Let's get right into the Word.
Now join us as Joey Hamlin teaches on seven things to pray about.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. We are in the middle of a series entitled Seven Things to Pray For. We've gotten through about five of these. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, the Apostle Paul says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." Say, "in the Spirit." And he says, "and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verse 19 says, "And for me, pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." I want you to notice that Paul here is talking about praying in the Spirit. Paul wrote this letter, and he also wrote a letter to the Corinthians. Hold your place there in Ephesians, because we may go back there to that, or you can put your Bible ribbon in that spot. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, the Apostle Paul also wrote this letter. He said, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." How is he speaking mysteries? In the Spirit, okay? So here's that expression again, in the Spirit. I wonder if "in the Spirit" meant the same thing in Ephesians 6:18 as it does here in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. You see, because it can be debated whether or not "in the Spirit" in Ephesians 6:18 meant praying in other tongues, because it doesn't say it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, Paul uses this same expression in direct relationship to praying in other tongues and calls it praying in the Spirit. And Paul wrote Ephesians and he wrote Corinthians, so I'm certain he's talking about the same thing when he says "in the Spirit." Right? That means praying in other tongues other than an earthly language. Okay? Most of our praying and our most effective prayers for ourselves and others will be done by praying in the Spirit. But most Christians spend most of their time praying with their understanding and very little time praying with the Spirit. When really your most effective prayers for yourself and for others will take place when you're praying in the Spirit. Did you know more? Let me say it this way. How should I say that? There's more you don't know about something than you do know about something, always. There's more that you don't know about things than you do know about things. And the Bible says the purpose of the Holy Spirit on the inside is to help us to pray with groanings which cannot be uttered when we don't know what to pray. So if there's always more I don't know about something than I do know about something, then I should be spending more time praying in the Spirit about it than I am praying with my understanding about it. So Paul says, "Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." One translation says, "He speaks divine secrets unto God." I mean, you're speaking secrets to God when you pray in tongues, even secrets that you don't know about in your own intellect. So if you don't know about it, you couldn't pray about it. So when you pray in tongues, you're actually praying above your own intellect's ability to pray those things. That's awesome. So you're not limited to yourself when you pray in the Holy Ghost. Brother Hagin said, "The greatest things that have ever happened to me and the most outstanding things happened after a long period of time praying in other tongues." Now, this was a man who had 70 years of full-time ministry. And another time he said, "The greatest financial blessings I ever received in my life came after long periods of time praying in the Holy Ghost." And he'd say, sometimes an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. But the greatest financial blessings he ever experienced in his life came after long periods of time of praying in the Holy Ghost. I believe we ought to start stepping it up, don't you? Amen. Did you know that the Corinthians, they were mightily used by God in the gifts of the Spirit? And the Apostle Paul even spent two whole chapters bringing correction to them in the proper usage of the utterance gifts, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. But they were also the most carnal, selfish bunch of baby Christians that there were. But they came behind in no spiritual gift. So that tells you right there that operating in the spiritual gifts really have no indication whether or not a person's spiritual or not, right? I mean, you can be a spiritual baby, just like the church at Corinth, and be mightily used by God in the gifts of the Spirit. But the Apostle Paul, he corrected them of their abuses of the of tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. And he said, I'm not trying to hold you back or to slow you down or to make you talk in tongues less. He said, I talk in tongues more than all of you. I mean, he must have been praying in tongues day and night to be talking in tongues more than that church. Because he dedicated two whole chapters bringing correction to them. Talked very little, very, very little about the other gifts of the Spirit, but two entire chapters devoted entirely to the proper use of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So he wasn't saying you're abusing it by doing it too much. He said, you're just doing it wrong. It's not edifying, in other words. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all, but you just got to do it right. Okay, and they were not doing it right. All right. Listen, and the Apostle Paul, he wrote over 3/4 of the New Testament. You know, your New Testament, if it wasn't for the Apostle Paul, your New Testament would be about that thin right there. Maybe a little more than that. Your New Testament would be about like this right here. If the Apostle Paul had not wrote his letters. Did you know he got that by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost? Where do you think that revelation came from? He got it out praying those mysteries. He that speaks in an unknown tongue, Paul said, who else would know better, right? He said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks divine mysteries, divine secrets to God. And God speaks divine secrets to you. Amen. I mean, he was responsible for writing 3/4 of the New Testament. So you can attribute that to the amount of time he spent praying in tongues. That if he had not been as dedicated to his heavenly prayer language, that it's very likely God could not have used him as much as he did in writing the scriptures. Praise the Lord. It says all these prophets, they spoke or wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, you cannot be moved by the Holy Ghost any more than you are yielded to the Holy Ghost. And James says, men can tame every wild beast, but the tongue no man can tame. It didn't say it couldn't be tamed. It said no man could. So if you could ever yield to the Holy Ghost can tame your tongue. And what better way to demonstrate a tamed tongue than to pray in the Holy Ghost when your brain is screaming at you, this ain't doing no good. What good do you think you're doing? You just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Shatarama shala kostoro robo sekiste. Underama shele tishe tele kamboro stele tikiste. Ha 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 talamoso. And the more the devil tells you it ain't working, you just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're there in 14. So in the 14th verse, Paul said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I really like the Amplified Bible on this, verse 14. It says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. My spirit, do you see that? My spirit by the Holy Spirit prays, okay? So in other words, the Holy Spirit gives my spirit the utterance, but it's my spirit that's doing the praying. You notice it does not say that the Holy Spirit prays for us. No, he helps us, right? You know, if you needed help mowing your yard and you called somebody, hey, can you come help me mow my yard? And they brought their mower and you have your mower, but you just was sitting on the porch drinking tea, what would you think of them if they said, thank you for helping me? That's not helping. Helping is you both getting out there, right? Okay, so the Holy Spirit does not do our praying for us. He is there to help us pray. In other words, all the Holy Spirit can do is tell you what to say, but now you got to yield to God and say what he says. Didn't Jesus say, I only do those things I see my Father do, and I only say those things that I hear my Father say? And you read about on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it says that the Holy Ghost fell on all them and cloven tongues of fire appeared upon each one of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit did what? Gave them the utterance. What does it mean for the Spirit to give you the utterance? It would be the same thing as if I asked Preston to relay a message for me to someone else that I knew he would see before I had a chance to tell him, right? So I'd say, hey, when you see so-and-so, will you please tell them this and this and that? And he says, sure, okay. Now, I just gave him the utterance. Now, what does he have to do? He has to go and give it. But to give it, he has to yield to the utterance I gave him. So for the Holy Spirit to give you the utterance, it doesn't mean that he's making you speak. Some people think that God just, like, Brother Hagin said, they think like God just dropped a little speaker down inside of their spirit. They open their mouth and he talks through them. But that's not what happens. The Spirit giving you the utterance doesn't mean he's doing the talking for you. It means he simply is telling you what to say. Now you got to yield to him and say what he's saying. And the perfect scriptural example that I can tell you of is whenever God told Moses to go show himself to Pharaoh. You remember that? And he said, you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. God just gave Moses the utterance. Now Moses had to go and release that utterance and say to Pharaoh, which he gave God plenty of excuses why he was not qualified, right? He got the utterance. It was a matter of yielding to God and giving that utterance. And there's that same battle that goes on in people's mind when they come to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. God's giving them the utterance, but they're having this war with their brain. Like, is this me? Is this God? Well, it sure ain't your grandma. Of course it's you talking in tongues. And it ain't the Holy Ghost because he don't talk in tongues. He gives you the utterance and you talk in tongues. And so there in Corinthians 14, verse 14, in the Amplified, it says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, say my spirit. My spirit, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. So the Holy Spirit gives the utterance, and our spirit does the praying, and it's released out of our mouth. And then verse 15 says, back to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15 says, what is it then? Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit. In other words, I will pray in tongues. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So there's basically two ways to pray. You can pray with the Spirit. Or number two, you can pray with your understanding, which would be your earthly language. Maybe that's English or Spanish or whatever language it is. If you're praying in earthly language, that's praying with your understanding. If you're praying in a heavenly language, that would be praying with the Spirit, okay, or in other tongues. Notice Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. And then he said, man, he was really getting into this. He said, I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with my understanding. So, but notice what he said. He said, I will. Another problem that many people have is they think that they should only speak in tongues when they have some kind of a special experience with the Holy Ghost or ecstatic feeling. And then usually it's like really rapid and kind of chaotic sounding and, not that the presence of the Holy Spirit may not have that effect on some people, but some people tend to think that it's out of order to pray in tongues unless the Holy Spirit is really moving supernaturally or strongly on you. But notice what Paul said here. He said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will. So in other words, he said, my praying in the Spirit has more to do with what I'm willing than what God is. Yes, he's willing. Remember he said, I speak in tongues more than all of y'all. That didn't mean that God was telling him to more than them. That meant he was yielding to what the Spirit was prompting him to do better, right? So you're never out of line to pray in tongues. You don't have to wait for a goosebump. You don't have to wait for a tingle. You don't have to wait for a heat rash to come up over you, or no warm blanket, whatever the Holy Spirit may feel like at times, You're just right there dead, dry. God ain't nowhere around. You can just pray in the Holy Ghost. And you can speak mysteries to God when you feel like he's 1,000 miles away from you. And he'll hear every word because he's on the inside of you. Amen. See, when you feel God, it's just when he comes on you. But he's always inside of you. Amen. And when we pray in the Holy Ghost, we release his ability in our lives. Okay, so Brother Hagin got this revelation. He saw where Paul said, I will do this. In other words, he didn't say God was at all involved. He just said, I will pray with the Spirit as an act of my own will. I will pray with the Spirit. So then Brother Hagin asked himself this. He said, he was in his study at the church, okay, at his desk. And he said to himself, could I kneel down off this chair at my desk and say I'm going to pray with my understanding? He said, yes. And then he said, up until that time, it would have taken him about an hour of praying with his understanding before he ever got over into praying in other tongues. But he said he got this revelation where Paul said, I will pray with my understanding and I will pray with the Spirit. And so he asked himself, could I get down out of my chair right now and kneel down and pray with my understanding for 1 hour? And he answered himself, yes, I certainly could. And he said, if I could get down and pray with my understanding for an hour, then I can say I'm going to get down and pray with the Spirit right now for an hour. If I can do one, I can do the other. Why would I have to wait for the Holy Ghost to tell me to pray in tongues, but I could pray with my understanding anytime I got good and ready? He said, I will. I will pray with my understanding, and I will pray with the Spirit. So Brother Hagin got a revelation. I can get down and pray in tongues just as fast by my own free will as I can get down and pray with my understanding with my own free will. Now, to most of us, this may not seem like such a great revelation, but you have to understand that this was in a time when this was not commonly known. They didn't receive teaching this clearly in the Word of God, because people would accuse you of being in the flesh if you just got up and started speaking in tongues, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you feel the anointing? No. But you might not until you get to praying in tongues either. You know, I've had the greatest anointings come on me after I prayed in tongues when it felt like the anointing was furthest from me. But I just prayed in the Holy Ghost. Some things you got to, we're waiting for it to come from heaven upon us, but really everything you need is on the inside, and you got to stir it up by praying in the Holy Ghost and get them things to surface and to come out. And just because you felt it don't mean that's when it showed up. That's just when your flesh found out about it. What your heart knew all along. That's another level of spiritual growth right there, isn't it? So Brother Hagin said this. So I'm going to do that right now. He said, I'm going to get on my knees in prayer and pray in tongues for an hour. He said, I did it immediately. I didn't have to wait for nothing. I just got down and started praying in tongues. I had been praying for a long time. I know it must have been an hour. I opened my eyes and looked, and it had been 10 minutes. So I went at it again. I was sure I had prayed an hour that time, and I looked, and it had been 30 minutes. I finally struggled through that hour. I got up and sat down in my chair at my desk, and he said, I recognized it to be the devil saying, now you've wasted a whole hour. And Brother Hagin said, no, I didn't waste an hour. And then the devil said, do you know anything you said? Brother Hagin said, no. And the devil said, well, if you don't know anything you said, what good did it do you? And Brother Hagin said, I wasn't praying to myself. I was praying to God. He said, I then reached for my Bible that was already open to 1 Corinthians 14:2, because he just got through reading it to himself. And he said, devil, I don't know whether or not you can read, but just in case you can't, I want to read this to you. So you have to learn how to talk to the devil. Brother Hagin said, if you don't learn how to talk to the devil, you will never amount to much in this life. You have got to learn to talk to the devil. You've got to learn to not just be determined not to do what he says, but you've got to answer him back and tell him to shut up. So he said, I don't know if you can read or not, but just in case you can't read, I'm going to tell you this. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. And then he said, I've been talking to God. I've been speaking divine secrets with God, and that's what you're mad about. You're mad because you can't get in on any of it. He said, now just for that, I'm going to get back down and pray for 2 hours in tongues. He just prayed an hour. Now he said, I'm going to pray 2 hours in tongues. And he said, and after I pray 2 hours in tongues, if you say anything about it again, I will just double it and make it 4 hours the next time. And he said, I'll double it every time after that if you keep saying something. He's like, I got all day. He said he got through that 2 hours a whole lot easier than he did the first hour. And the voice said to him, now you wasted 2 more hours. He said, you could have had your sermons ready, because Sunday was coming and he had a Sunday morning and a Sunday night message he had to prepare. And that voice said to him, you just wasted 2 more hours. You could have got your sermons ready. You could have been out visiting people that needed to be visited. You could have been doing something that's profitable. What good did that do you? You don't even know what you said. Brother Hagin said, well, I got my Bible out again. And he quoted to him another verse, verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And he said, devil, see here, I've been edifying myself. I've been building myself up, if you want to know what I've been doing. And he said, just for that, devil, instead of praying 2 hours, I'm going to pray for 4 hours now in tongues. And he said, when he got back down, he got through a total of 5 hours and 45 minutes. And he said, and then he hit a gusher. Woo! But we want to hit that gusher the first 5 minutes we start praying. But at 5 hours and 45 minutes, see, because God knew he was in it to win it. He had no quit in him. He wasn't looking to outward circumstances to confirm to him that his prayers were working. He just saw in the Word of God that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries to God. And he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself spiritually. And he did it just simply purely based off what the Word of God said. And when he hit that 5 hour and 45 minute mark, he said he hit a spiritual gusher. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now get this. How many heard of the great healing revival that took place during the late 40s and throughout the 50s? It began in 1947 and went on through 1958. And Brother Hagin said when he hit that 5 hour and 45 minute mark, he hit a gusher. That was February 23rd, 1943. And he wrote it down and he said, the Lord told him that at the close of World War II, there will come a revival of divine healing to America. And he said that started, you know, that would have been 4 years later in 1947 and continued through 1958. But the Lord told him when he got through that 5 hours and 45 minutes, the Lord told him, he said, there is a revival of divine healing coming to America at the close of World War II. How did he get that? By praying in the Holy Ghost, by just keep drilling, just keep praying, just keep pressing in. He tapped into those divine mysteries of God, the divine secrets of God. And he was able to be ready for that move. Now, I like something else that Brother Hagin said about this. He said that after that day, he said it never took him more than 10 minutes to get back to that place that he achieved at the 5 hour and 45 minute mark. It never took him 5 hours and 45 minutes, that he could always get back there within 10 minutes because he progressed to that place. As I said earlier, you know, sometimes we do more praying with our understanding than we do praying in the Spirit. But your praying with your understanding isn't always enough to get the job done necessarily. What you need may have to come from you praying in the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes that's the case. And then I quoted Romans 8 to you earlier, but in verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Say our infirmities. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Now, a lot of times when we think about infirmities, we think about sickness or disease. Now, that may be what an infirmity is that the Holy Spirit can help you with, but this word infirmities, Paul was not specifically even talking about sickness or disease. He was talking about areas of our life that we don't have understanding in. That would be a weakness. And the Greek word for infirmity literally means weakness. It could be a physical weakness, or it could be a weakness of circumstance, or a weakness of lack of knowledge. And in this case, it's talking about weaknesses in the area of knowledge, because it says the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It's not talking about sickness or disease. It's talking about not knowing how to pray accurately about this situation we're facing, or a situation that someone else is facing, right? So what infirmity is he talking about here? He said, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now then, look with me in James chapter 5, verse 16. It says here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, we're talking about the 7 types of prayer, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I really didn't intend on covering this prayer tonight, but one of the things that we are told to pray for is to pray for one another that they may be healed. Did you know it's scripturally accurate for you to pray for people to be healed? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Now, tell me this. Have you ever heard anybody say that, well, maybe it's the Lord's will to heal you and maybe it's not? Have you ever heard that? Yes. All right. Well, evidently, this church had never heard such doctrine, Because they say, confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed. They didn't say, if it's the Lord's will. They didn't tack on, if it's the Lord's will, did they? They just said, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed, for the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much, right? Now, what's interesting to me is the connection that's made between our faults and our receiving from God. Now, the context is receiving healing, but if my faults can hinder me from receiving my healing, it could be my faults that's keeping me from receiving things in other areas of my life as well, right? Did you know that your faults, your weaknesses of the flesh and sinful habits, those things can hinder you from receiving from God? It didn't say pray that God would offer you healing. He's offering healing to everyone just like he's offering salvation to everyone. It says pray that you may be healed. In other words, that you may receive that healing that God is offering. In connection to praying for one another that we may be healed, praying in the Spirit gives us the opportunity to pray out things for that person that you don't know about. And many times whenever I've prayed for the sick, I've sensed an unction to pray in tongues because I realize there's more about the circumstances that I don't know than I do know, like I was saying earlier. So when I'm praying in the Spirit, I'll get things in the Spirit to pray out or to speak and talk to that person about. And many times the answer to that and the response to that will determine whether or not they receive their healing.
Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. You have been listening to Faith for Living with Pastor Joey Hamlin. We trust that you've been blessed by the ministry of the Word. To listen to this message in its entirety, along with other faith-building messages, you can download the free FHC Post app for your iPhone, iPad, Android, or Windows device at the App Store. Until next time, may God richly bless you.